Praise God. Once again, I want to say how happy I am to have my friend Hans and Kathy here tonight, and all of our guests. Give them a big welcome again. And it's great to be in the house of God and feel the presence of the Lord. I believe with all my heart, amen, that one day and one day soon, we're going to see the glory of the Lord coming down from heaven. Every eye is going to see Him. And every tongue is going to confess. Oh, praise God. I'm looking for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I thank God for the power of the Holy Ghost and His presence that we feel here tonight. It's a very special presence when God's people come together and begin to worship Him. The Bible says the true worshiper shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm glad that we can worship the Lord tonight in spirit and in truth. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to Ezekiel, the 10th chapter. Someone asked the other day, what is that Bible that Brother Hart's reading out of? Well, I'm going to read from the traditional King James tonight. And for those of you that are not aware of that, the King James Version that you're holding in your hand, if so be you have a King James Bible, is the fourth edition of King James. The original 1611 King James Version, it was going out of print many, many years ago. And the one that you now read from that was authorized in 1611 was revived in 1767 with over 100,000 changes from the original. So, and the one that I had been reading is the New King James, which is the fifth edition. But we'll read from the fourth edition tonight. Amen. It's still the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so if you'll look at Ezekiel chapter 10, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And read through verse 4, and then pick up with verse 18, and read through verse 19, and then we're going to pick up chapter 11, and verses 22 and verse 23. Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, but then fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Verse 18. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them. And everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. Chapter 11, verse 22. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. I'm going to preach to you tonight regarding the return of His glory. That this vision that God gave Ezekiel was of the glory of the Lord departing from the temple and the city of Jerusalem and from the midst of the people of God. I believe today, amen, that God is getting ready to return to earth, amen, to receive His own unto Himself. Amen. I'm looking for the return of His glory. He's going to come in majesty and power. Amen. He's not going away. He's coming back. He's not withdrawing His presence. But I'm looking for His appearance. The epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. By the help of the Lord tonight, I want to preach to you the return of His glory. Lord Jesus, we ask You, God, in Your holy name, Lord, that You would enable us, O God, to impart this message, Lord, from Your word. God, to strengthen our faith and help us, O God, to know and to believe and to understand, Lord, that You are real, that Your presence is real, Lord, and that You will return again on the clouds of glory to take out of this world a people for Your name's sake. We pray it all in the holy name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. This vision of Ezekiel's, Brother Grissom, took place at the time of the Babylonian captivity. It was a time of judgment because Israel had departed from the ways of God. It was not a recent happening. It was the end of a long period of time in which the long suffering of God had waited. God had dealt with Israel through the prophets, and He had spoken, and He had desired to draw them and to cause them to return again unto the covenant that He had made with them. But Israel was very gross in their sin and in their rebellion against the ways of God. The Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord was lifted up from the threshold of the house, and that it was lifted up to a very high and exceeding mountain on the east side of the city. Now, it's very interesting to me, amen, that on the east side of Jerusalem is what we refer to as the Eastern Gate. The Bible tells us that no one can enter into that gate but the anointed of the Lord, the Messiah, when He returns to earth again, that He and He alone will enter through the Eastern Gate, and that He will bring righteousness and salvation, amen, to the people of the Lord. That one day Jesus Christ will literally return to the earth. The Bible says that when His feet touch upon the Mount of Olives, that it will cleave in the midst. Amen. And that one part of the mountain will go eastward and the other westward. And there will be a great valley called the Valley of Azel. And those of the tribes of Judah that shall be in the land in that day shall flee from the judgments of God, as it was in the time of Uzziah, king of Israel. They will flee from the wrath and the judgment of God by the way of that valley. And they will be preserved of God. The outcast of Judah will become a people of salvation, a people that are saved by the mighty arm of the Lord. And in that day all Israel shall know the Lord, that He is God. And there shall be one king, amen, and His name shall be one. Hallelujah. And He shall reign over all of the kingdoms of the world, and His kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom. Praise the Lord. In the Bible, we read of the glory of God. In Old Testament times, there was a special presence of God that was called the Shekinah glory of God. And although God is everywhere, there's no place that we can go where God is not. That God will reveal himself in special manifestations. And that one special manifestation was called the Shekinah, the glory of God. And that Shekinah glory would appear upon the seat, the mercy seat, upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. For it represented the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who was to come to fulfill God's promise. Amen. To Israel and to all men. In fact, the Bible tells us, amen, that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sin. If you look at the root word of propitiation, it is the same root word for which we draw the word mercy seat. I thank God, amen, that Jesus Christ is our mercy seat. And he is the glory, amen, of the invisible God. That he lives today and he dwells today with us through the power of the Holy Ghost. We look at the pattern of the Old Testament. The Bible tells us that God gave to Moses a pattern. The pattern that God gave Moses was a pattern that was made after the heavenly tabernacle. And God gave Moses this pattern upon Mount Sinai. The pattern for the Ark of the Covenant was overlaid with gold, both within and without. It was a holy place. It was where mercy and grace came together. And God, amen, was merciful to them. And he pardoned their iniquity lest they should suffer death and destruction. For our God is a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. Hallelujah. And so God met with Israel there upon the mercy seat at the Ark of the Lord. Upon the ark, God manifested his presence. In that ark was contained Aaron's rod that budded, a bowl of manna, and the tables of the law that God had written upon with the very finger of God. And over a period of time, that ark, amen, became void of those things, that there was nothing left inside of that ark save for the law of God. The ark, the tables of the law alone remained within that ark. But it was a very sacred place. For it was where God had chosen to put his name. I want you to know wherever God chooses to put his name, amen, is a special place. Amen. We are the temple of the living God. I'm glad that God chose, amen, to put his name upon it, those that belong to him. Amen. He said that we belong to him. We belong to Jesus Christ. I'm glad to bear the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed to be one of his. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. Amen. God put his name there. And that's why it was a special place. Because the name of the Lord, amen, is a special name. Amen. It's a name of authority. It's a name of power. It's a name of salvation. It's a name of healing. It's a name of deliverance. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. There's safety, amen, in the presence of the Lord. The children of Israel recognized the safety of the ark of God. Amen. They were comforted in the fact that they had the ark of the covenant. No other people on the earth, amen, possessed anything like the Ark of the Covenant, amen, that God, amen, gave to Israel. We don't know what became of the Ark of the Covenant. We don't know of a certainty, that is. But sometime in the history of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant was lost. It fell into the wrong hands. Amen. But more importantly than the losing of the ark was the departure of the presence of God. Ezekiel said that he saw the Spirit of God. Amen. And the Spirit of God was lifted up out of the house of God. It removed from the threshold, amen, to the city. And from the city it was lifted up to an exceeding high mountain, because the glory of the Lord had departed from the temple. God forbid that the presence of God, amen, should ever, amen, depart from the house of God. If the presence of God is not in this place, amen, then I don't want to be a part of it. Amen. If God's not in it, amen, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But if Jesus is in the house, but if God is in the house, amen, then we've got something, amen, that's powerful. Amen. He said, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Amen. And you shall be witnesses unto me. I thank God because Jesus is in the house tonight. Amen. He dwells within his people. He dwells among those that believe upon his name. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. He's not departing out of this house, because Jesus said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. He wasn't talking about a building that was made with hands. The temple that Solomon built is no longer in Jerusalem, but this house that the Lord built. He said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This church of the living God, amen, is built upon a solid foundation. It's built in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, I'm going to be with you always. I'm not going to depart out of your presence. And so if you can't feel God tonight, guess who left? Amen. If you can't feel the presence of the Holy Ghost tonight, amen, guess, amen, who broke the covenant? God said he wouldn't leave me. How many believe that God, amen, is true to his word? God said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He said, no man can pluck you out of my hand. And he said, I and my Father are one. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You cannot, amen, be plucked out of the hand of God. So if you can't feel God, amen, it's you that have left the presence of God, because God has not left you. Amen. God wants you to feel his power and his presence tonight. He wants you to experience his glory. Well, that beautiful Ark of the Covenant, amen, represented power and authority. It gave confidence and it gave courage to those that knew what it represented. I remember a time in Israel's history, amen, that things were not going well in Israel, because Israel, amen, had departed from the ways of the Lord. They had backslid and they had adopted customs and ways of the heathen, and sin was taking place right before, amen, the eyes of the people. In the very place that God had put his name, there was sin, there was rebellion. They thought the only way that we're going to prevail against our enemy, we're going to have to get the ark. And so they went to the temple of God. And Eli did not want that ark removed out of the tabernacle. He knew that it was a terrible thing, amen, to mishandle, amen, the ways of God, to mishandle something that precious. Amen. I want you to know, amen, that we may have the power and we may have the name of Jesus, but we better beware, amen, lest we mishandle something that's precious. Amen. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant was a wonderful representation of the presence of God. But woe be to that individual that did not honor that presence, that did not show proper respect under the ark. One man, amen, reached out and steadied the oxen, the cart that the oxen were pulling when the ark was being brought back to Jerusalem. And because he reached out and touched it, God smote him and he died. It was a terrible thing, amen, to approach God, amen, unprepared. But they took the Ark of the Covenant and they took it into battle against the Philistines. And the Bible says that in the midst of the battle that the Ark was taken and Israel was defeated. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they died. And when Eli received the word that the Ark of God was taken, he being a heavy man, amen, he fell from his seat and broke his neck and he died. And his daughter-in-law, who was expecting, she was about to give birth to a son. When she heard the news that her husband was dead, that her father-in-law was dead, and the ark of God was taken, she travailed and she brought forth a child. And before she died, she said, "Call his name Ichabod." And Ichabod literally translates, "The glory of God has departed." And the ark of God fell into the hand of the enemy. I thank God that in the mercy of God and in the grace of God that somehow they got it back. Amen. Something that was precious. Something glorious. Something that represented His power and His glory and His majesty. Amen. Whatever it is that the world is lost. Amen. If we've lost our reverence, if we've lost our fear of the things of God, if we've lost our love for everything that is holy and everything that is righteous, I pray that we would get it back, lest the glory of God would depart. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't know about you, but I do not want to live in a world where I can't feel God. I don't want to live in a world, amen, where there's no mercy, where there is no grace, where there is no forgiveness. I'm glad tonight that I've got a mercy seat that I can go to anytime, and His name is Jesus. I'm glad, amen, that I'm welcome at His throne of grace, and that when I am in need, when I am in trouble, when my heart despairs, amen, that I can approach His throne of mercy and grace, and He willingly welcomes me, and He's willing to pardon me and forgive me of my sin. Can you say praise the Lord? That Ark of the Covenant, after the building of Solomon's temple, it was placed in the Holy of Holies. Solomon prayed unto God. He prayed for wisdom. He didn't care about wealth and fame and any of the things that some would have desired. But he said, "God, I just seek to know wisdom. I don't know how to come in and I don't know how to go out." He said, "What is this house that I made you? Amen. The heavens your throne, the earth is your footstool. What is this house that I have made you?" You see, that the temple was not an exceptionally large building. It wasn't its dimensions that made it so magnificent, but it was what it represented. It was what was inside the temple that made it glorious. The Bible says at the dedication of the temple, amen, that the glory of God filled the house so that the priest could not even go in to minister in the presence of God. So great was the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. That no man could go in there because God was in the house. God was revealing himself in a great and mighty way. And he showed that he was well pleased with what they had done. Hallelujah. They rejoiced in Israel that day because it was a monumental day. It was a day to be remembered for all mankind when they dedicated the temple unto the name of the Lord their God. And that ark remained in the temple, amen, at least until the final days of Solomon. We know that it was there at that time. But then there came a judgment day upon the people of God. The Bible tells us that in 587 BC, that the Babylonians came, Nebuchadnezzar and his armies, amen, and they ransacked Jerusalem and they set it on fire and they destroyed the temple, amen, that God had filled with his glory. They set it on fire and cast down the stones of that temple. And all traces of the Ark of the Covenant vanished from biblical history. When the Jews returned from Babylon in 536 BC to build their second temple, the Ark was strangely absent. They had a house, but there was no presence of God. There was no glory that filled the house. In fact, when Zerubbabel dedicated the second temple, the Bible said those that remembered the former temple, they wept. Amen. When they remembered the glory of the former house. Oh, but thank God that the prophets of old, amen, made a prediction, Brother Grissom. Amen. That tells us that there's going to be another temple that's going to be built. And it's not going to be built by man, but it's going to be built by one called Messiah. He is going to build a house. And the Bible says the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. Amen. It shall be more glorious. It shall be more beautiful than anything that has ever been known before. Can you say praise the Lord? The Ethiopian Royal Chronicles reveal that there was a son that was born unto Solomon and the queen of Sheba by the name of Menelik. Prince Menelik the first, the son of that union between Solomon and the queen of Sheba, amen, became an adherent to the Jewish faith. And at a very early age, amen, that he committed his life to serving the God of his father. That according to the Ethiopian Chronicles, Prince Menelik the first took the Ark of the Covenant with him during the time of Solomon when he returned to the nation of Ethiopia. And there he placed it in secret because of his growing concern for the apostasy that was in the midst of Israel. There were idols that were in the temple. Solomon married many wives, and that he allowed shrines to be built to their various gods and goddesses, and he polluted the house of God. The man that God gave wisdom to did not walk in wisdom. You can have wisdom and not walk in wisdom. You can have knowledge but not walk according to knowledge. You can know the truth and not love the truth. Oh, God forbid that a people, amen, that have known the Lord and have known the glory of God and have known the wonders of his name, that we should ever not reverence and acknowledge how great is our God, how great is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to honor him tonight. Honor him with worship. Amen. Because they had not a love for the truth. The Bible says God sent them a strong delusion so that they should believe a lie and be damned. God forbid that we should ever be turned over to a reprobate mind, so that we should forsake the ways of God and the knowledge of truth. Amen. The Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God forbid that we should ever become in bondage to the world again. That we should ever return back, amen, to the things of the world that God has delivered us from. God delivered me from the world. Amen. I don't want to go back there anymore. God delivered me from bondage. I don't want to be entangled again with the things, amen, of this world. But oh, I want to know Jesus. I want to know His glory. I want to know His righteousness. Praise God. Menelik the First is reputed to have placed a perfect replica of the Ark of the Covenant in the temple before he left. But it was not the true Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says that in the last days that men would have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. It might look like, it might appear to be, but if it isn't, amen, if it isn't godly, if it isn't holy, if it's not acceptable unto God, amen, it's not the original. I don't want to preach another gospel. I want to preach the gospel that was once delivered unto the saints. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I don't want a facsimile of the original. I don't want a substitute God or a substitute power. Amen. You cannot substitute anything for the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can worship. You can have great talent and ability. You can have the best singing, the greatest musicians, the most gifted speakers, but if you don't have the power of God, you don't have God in the midst. Amen. But if you've got God, if you've got an anointing, it doesn't matter whether you can sing like Frank Sinatra. It doesn't matter if you can play like Boots Randolph. If you can play under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, then God will be in the midst. Hallelujah. If you can preach the Word of God without pretense, amen, without, amen, pride, without pomp, amen, and ritual, if you can preach the Word of God, Paul said, I preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If you'll just preach the Word of God, amen, the Bible said He will confirm His Word with signs following, amen, there will be manifestations of the Holy Ghost, there will be miracles, there will be deliverance, amen, if God is in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. If God is in the house, it doesn't matter, amen, whether it's a brick building or whether it's just a brush arbor. If God is in the house, it's glorious. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If God's in the house, hallelujah, amen, He makes up for the lack. From the time of Solomon, around 967 A.D., until the 12th century A.D., which is approximately 2,000 years, the ruling class of Ethiopia was the Falasha Jews, who kept the law of Moses and the feast of the Lord. They were not recognized by Orthodox Jews. They were not recognized as being a part of the covenant promises. But nevertheless, they kept the feast. They observed the things of God's word. For nearly 2,000 years, where were the Orthodox Jews? They were scattered abroad, taken to Assyria and Babylon, spread throughout the world, persecuted, almost annihilated by Hitler and Stalin. 6 million Jews died in the Holocaust, but there was a little group of Falasha Jews in Ethiopia, amen, that still believed in the old promises of God, and they clung to the faith, amen, that had been passed down for generations and generations. In fact, even the language of Ethiopia is different than all of the other North African nations. Most of North Africa is Hamitic, and they speak the Hamitic languages because they're descendants of Ham. But even linguistic professors acknowledge that the language of Ethiopia is distinct. It is neither pure Hamitic nor pure Semitic. But if you research it, it is has a classification that's called Hamo-Semitic. The joining together of two cultures, the culture of the Jews and the culture of the Queen of Sheba. But for 2,000 years, they preserved and they kept the Ark of the Covenant in secrecy. While the world wondered, and Hollywood was making movies about the Lost Ark, and Indiana Jones was swinging in through the jungles looking for something, amen, that God already knew where it was. The Falasha Jews, amen, held on, amen, to the belief that one day they were returning back to the promised land. And one day they were going home. I don't know about you, but we're just pilgrims and strangers. We don't belong to this world, but we're going somewhere, and somewhere soon there's a homecoming, for God is going to return in His glory. Hallelujah. In the 12th century AD, the Muslims took over Ethiopia. For hundreds of years, they lived in oppression. They lived under the cruel leadership of their Muslim overlords. But in 1558, the Solomonic dynasty was reestablished in Ethiopia. It was right before I was born. 1558. Few years ago, the Solomonic dynasty was reestablished in Ethiopia and continued to be the ruling class until the death of the self-proclaimed Lion of Judah, Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie was taken by the communist rebels in 1974. I remember very well because I was in Houston going to Bible college at the time. That Haile Selassie was taken captive by the communist rebels of Ethiopia. And he was put in a concentration camp. And he was treated with cruelty. And somewhere around 1975, Haile Selassie mysteriously died of unknown causes. Thus, the last king of Ethiopia, of the Solomonic dynasty, died. But it did not die. The desire to return back to Israel did not die with the Falasha Jews. There's an amazing prophecy in the book of Zephaniah. If you want to turn to the book of Zephaniah, Zephaniah the prophet foretold that one day in the latter years, that these Jews from Ethiopia would return to their homeland of Israel. And that they, amen, would also, amen, witness the restoration of the Hebrew language. For nearly 2,000 years, the Hebrew language was a dead language. Amen. Nobody could speak Hebrew. Nobody. Most of the Jews in Europe spoke Yiddish, or they spoke the language of their particular nation that they dwelt in. But no one could speak the Hebrew language. But God said by the prophet Zephaniah that one day that the language of the people would be restored and they would speak a pure language. Never before in the history of the world had a language died and then been resurrected again. Oh, but I want you to know that there is no God like the God that we serve, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God, amen, of the whole world. And by the way, if I haven't already, amen, said it, the Falashah Jews are black. Most of the Jews that you've known probably have been just as fair-skinned as I am. The European Jews. There are Jews of all colors. The original Jews were more of an olive complexion, more similar to the Arabs of that part of the world today. But intermarriage and migration to different parts of the world has changed that. But the Falashah Jews were the only black Jews in the entire world. You see, the Queen of Sheba was of African nationality. Amen. And so the child that was born unto Solomon and the Queen of Sheba was of that same racial makeup. And so these Falashah Jews were shunned by those that were a part of the Orthodox Jewish community. They did not recognize them. They tried to ignore them, to pretend that they did not exist. I want you to know there are people, amen, that do not like you, amen, because you're not mainstream. You're not part, amen, of the Christian world, of this world today. Amen. We don't choose, amen, to pattern ourselves after the world, but we want to pattern ourselves after the New Testament, the Word of God, that we will be despised and rejected. Amen. If you're different, you might be a different color, you might speak a different language, you might live a different lifestyle. If you're different, amen, you're going to be persecuted. We, as Christians today, we are a minority. This was once a predominantly Christian nation. But it is a nation that is changing. It was once a very popular thing to pray. I remember when I was going to school right here in this city, in Athens, Texas, that we said our prayers and we said the Pledge of Allegiance every day in honor of God and country. But now there are two little girls in America that have been expelled from school because they prayed for their teacher, amen, who was sick. And another teacher happened to walk into the room, amen, when these two little girls were praying for their teacher and saw what was happening and reported it to the administration. Those two little girls have been expelled from school. I don't know what the end result is going to be. But I want you to know that it's not going to get any easier for those who will stand for what is right. If you stand for principles, if you stand for the truth, if you stand for freedom, if you stand for the Word of God, Jesus said you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You don't have to be black. You don't have to be white. You don't have to be any particular race to be hated and despised. If you stand for Jesus, you're going to be hated. They hated Jesus. And he was the same color they were. Come on now. Praise God. Look at Zephaniah. Zephaniah 3, verses 9 and 10. The prophet Zephaniah foretold the return of these Falasha Jews to their homeland in the end of days. For then will I return to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of my Lord, of the Lord, to serve him with one consent from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. My suppliants. Now I had to look that up because I'm reading from your version. My fifth edition version of the King James says worshipers. So if you don't know what a suppliant is, it's a worshiper. Amen. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring an offering. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. But that's not the only prophecy. Isaiah also prophesied that there would be a remnant from Ethiopia who would escape the destruction of the last days. Amen. And he said in Isaiah, the 18th chapter and the 7th verse, in that time shall the present be brought. And that word present in the Hebrew language is the nes. It does come from the same root word as nisai, which means a banner or an ensign. At that time shall the ensign be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled. Again, that's from your edition, the 4th edition. The 5th edition, King James says, to a people of a people tall and smooth of skin. That's what scattered and peeled means. And from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden underfoot. That's in your edition. In the 5th edition, King James, the New King James, it says, amen, under powerful and a treading down, whose land the rivers have spoiled, or the rivers have divided, to the place. Now this is what I like, Brother Grissom. It said they're going to bring this present, these Ethiopian people, these tall and smooth-skinned people, they're going to bring their present to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. They're going to bring an offering. And I believe that it could very well be at the present that they're going to bring back to the Mount of the Lord is the Ark of the Covenant that has been preserved there for these thousands and thousands of years. Now, hold on to your seat. Amen. Make sure your seat belts are on. Amen. Because what I'm about to tell you is going to astound you. There are some that are sitting here in this congregation tonight, amen, that know exactly what it is I'm fixing to say, because they witnessed it themselves. They saw it. They saw a clip of this actual rescue operation. Amen. When it took place. Amen. But with the communist takeover of Ethiopia, there were thousands and thousands of Christians and Jews who were persecuted and killed. Some of our own United Pentecostal people were killed. Brother Teclamarian's own child was taken out of his arms and killed right before his face. Christians were murdered by the thousands and thousands. And in 1988, amen, the nation of Israel put together a special rescue operation. And in that rescue operation, there was a small number of Falasha Jews that were returned to the land of Israel. In 1991, getting a little bit closer to our day, in 1991, during the final chaotic days of Ethiopia's civil war, over 85,000 Falasha Jews were rescued by the people of Israel, amen, in an operation that was called by the Israeli Mossad. The Mossad is the CIA of the nation of Israel. The Israeli Mossad refers to that operation as Operation Solomon. 85,000 black Jews were received into the Israeli nation, and they were received with welcome. They were received with love, and they all authenticated by DNA that indeed that they were Jews, that they were descendants of Abraham, and that they had a right to the covenant promises of God. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, if you don't believe that we're living in the last days, you've got another think coming. Amen. Because the Bible says that this would happen in the latter days. Amen. Before the time that God poured out His destruction upon this world. And my Bible tells me that we're not appointed under wrath. That God is not going to destroy the church. But God is going to save His people. Amen. When you see Jerusalem surrounded with armies, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth nigh. Can you say praise the Lord? Let's clap our hands to the Lord tonight. Let's worship God, because His glory is going to return. His glory, it's coming back. Hallelujah. We cannot verify, we cannot prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, but there are some very, very reliable witnesses who were interviewed by a prominent theologian from the United States. These sources were found in Canada and in Ethiopia. And they report that in the years following Operation Solomon, that the communist troops we're drawing near to the city of Aksum, Ethiopia. And what makes Aksum such a very critical place? It was in Aksum that there was a house of worship that was built. And beneath that house of worship was a secret that the Falasha Jews had kept for all of these centuries. Because it was something that was precious. It was something they did not want to fall into the hands of their enemies. Remember, since the time of the Muslim invaders, amen, they had lived under cruel oppression. And now, once again, the communists had removed Haile Selassie from power. And they were being tortured and persecuted and put in prison. But the Ethiopian Jews that were still there, they called upon their friends in Israel for help. What I'm about to tell you, amen, is so amazing that it's hard, amen, to visualize that it happened. But those that were insiders, those that were high in the government of Ethiopia, declare that it happened. And I think that my brother and his wife, they actually saw some footage of the actual rescue operation. Did you not? You saw it? So there's some witnesses here that have actually seen footage of this actual rescue operation. But in the mid-90s, again, the Israeli Mossad, the elite military attaché from that organization, they returned by night to the land of Ethiopia. And under the stealth of darkness, they entered into the cave where the Ark of the Covenant had been preserved. And there were special forces that were authenticated to be descendants of the tribe of Levi. And they had staves in their hand. Amen. They remembered, amen, what happened to Uzzah when he touched the ark. They didn't want to die. Amen. They didn't want to be consumed with the fire of God's presence. My Bible says our God is a consuming fire. And they went in there and they shrouded that ark. They covered it up so they could not look upon it. And they put the staves where the staves were supposed to go. And they carried that ark by the stealth of darkness and into that plain that was awaiting. And they spirited it away to a place of hiding until the time that the third temple is dedicated upon the Mount of God. If we're not living in the last days, I don't know when we are ever going to realize that Jesus is coming again. His coming is near. Amen. He's not going away. He's coming back. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. The glory of the Lord is going to return. Hallelujah to the mountain of the Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Oh, hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord tonight. Oh, perhaps one day the Ark of the Covenant will be restored to its rightful place. And that'll be glorious. That'll be a wonderful day. But that's just the symbol of something greater. The Bible says that we have a greater covenant. We have a better covenant based on better promises. And we have a mercy seat, amen, that they have never partaken of. Amen. There's another, amen, Shekinah glory that's going to appear in the heavens. The Bible says, amen, that the sun and the moon are going to be darkened and the stars are going to fall from heaven. And then you shall see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Oh, hallelujah. There's coming a great and glorious return. One day Jesus is coming back. I'm not looking for the ark. I'm looking for the mercy seat. I'm not looking for a box. Amen. I'm looking for a Messiah that's going to take me out of here. Oh, hallelujah. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Jesus is coming back. I'd like the musicians to come. Jesus Christ is going to come again. There's going to be a day and a time, amen, when men are not going to talk about the ark anymore. Oh, for a while, it's going to be exciting when the Jews have their restored temple. It'll be exciting around here. If we're still here, it's going to be kind of exciting to know that the Jews have a temple on the holy mountain of God. To see the temple restored and the temple worship, the temple sacrifices. The Bible says it's going to happen. And Ethiopia is going to bring a present and present it to the Lord of hosts. Oh, hallelujah. So we got something here. It's not missing anymore. And for a while, that's going to be pretty exciting to see what's happening over there. But my Bible tells me there's going to come a day that even in Israel, they're not going to be talking about the ark anymore. They're not going to be visiting the Ark of the Covenant because the God of the Covenant is going to be in the midst of Israel. Amen. They won't need a temple because He is the temple. They won't need to offer sacrifice because He is the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world. Does the Bible say that, Brother Hart? Yes, it does. I'm going to read to you in closing from the book of Jeremiah, the 3rd chapter, the 14th verse. The Lord said, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." God's still married to Israel. "And I will take you, one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Hallelujah. Israel's going to one day know who their Messiah really is. They're going to look on the one that they pierced. And they're going to worship Him as their God and their Savior. "And it shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord." Now listen to this. "They shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind." neither shall they remember it. How could they remember it if they never seen it, Brother Grissom? But they won't be excited about the fact that they've got the ark back. They'll be glad that the glory of the Lord has returned to His temple. Amen. They'll be glad to see the one who died for them. They won't be talking about the Ark of the Covenant anymore. Oh, hallelujah. Or remembering it. And neither shall they visit it. They won't have to visit it anymore. Neither shall that be done anymore. Amen. All of that will be done away. And at that time, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. Amen. That had never been fulfilled yet. Israel doesn't worship the one true God. They don't recognize their Messiah. But one day they'll call Jerusalem the throne of God. And they're not going to be talking about the ark. They're going to be talking about the one, amen, who took the place of the ark. They're going to be talking about the one who is the image of the invisible God. Amen. They're not going to be talking about the glory cloud. They're going to be talking, amen, about Jesus. And at that time, all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. And neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. They won't walk in sin anymore, because God said, I'm going to save Israel. I'm going to redeem my chosen people. And they're going to know who I am. Hallelujah. When the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. We're living in the last days. If it's true that the Ark of the Covenant has been recovered after thousands of years. If it's true that they're getting ready to build the temple. If it's true that Babylon has already been rebuilt. I'll just slip this in. This is another message for another time. But Brother Grissom and I were on the internet the other night. We were talking about prophecy. And there are a lot of people that have wondered about, is there really going to be a literal Babylon? Because the Bible talks about Babylon being destroyed. And when God destroys it, it will never be rebuilt. Not even one stone will be used in building. That's what the Bible says. But we found out together that the city of Babylon today has a population of over 500,000 in the city. And the metropolitan area, of course, is a much larger city. And that the city streets have been rebuilt. That Procession Street is once again a place for music and dancing. And the walls of and the gate of Ishtar has been restored. And Nebuchadnezzar's throne room has been restored. And the city, amen, is being built with the dollars that we're pouring into Iraq. The Bible says it's going to be a great commercial city. But it's going to be destroyed. Recently, they discovered, and this is just a side note, they discovered that beneath the city of Babylon, which today is known by its Islamic name of Al-Hilal. And Al-Hilal is a word that gives worship and praise to Allah. But beneath the city of Babylon, there is a huge petroleum reserve. And there is black tar beneath the city. The Bible says when God destroys Babylon, that it is going to burn for eternity. And the smoke of Babylon is going to descend up. And it's going to be one of the very gates of hell. Amen. The Bible says that God will destroy Babylon as he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will never be rebuilt again. I want you to know we're living at the end of time. Amen. Never before have all of these things been come together. Amen. For the coming of the Lord. But we're living for that great and great wonderful hour of the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming back. Jesus is coming back. Would you stand tonight? If you don't know Jesus, you can know him tonight. If you've never repented of your sins, you can ask Jesus into your heart tonight. If you've never received that refreshing that comes from the Spirit in the presence of God, the Holy Ghost will fill you and give you peace and joy that you've never had before. If you want to know Jesus, amen. He's willing and he's ready. How about you? Hallelujah. Let's worship
Jesus,
the Lord.
Take me back.